Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Cullen Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Cullen Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the Take Easy Look. Or Corey Fleck and Chad Markwitz here, your host for this weekend edition, also your host throughout the week on our website, kereport.com, and podcast, The KE Report. Well, this is a, I think, pretty important, let's say, weekend show because we just got to the closing of the month, of the week, of the quarter for the first quarter of 2023. And so far, I think we can broadly say 2023 is a better year than 2022 in the first quarter for investors. Markets are up, metals. I know a lot of our listeners focus on the metals as well. Those are up, and the US dollar is down, and really kind of a mixed bag in terms of yields. We will talk about it all on this weekend show. We are kicking off the show with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago, also editor of the Lion Share Pro website. That's where you can follow along with what Dana's trading, what his internal models are directing in terms of future moves. Dana, we usually start with U.S. markets, but I want to start with gold here. We are recording this later in the day on Thursday, so we don't have the monthly or quarterly close. But look, gold just broke over 2,000, has just pulled back a little bit. As we're recording this, gold is at 1998 on the futures contract. Silver is up in the $24 region. Most importantly here, gold, this could be really an all-time high closing quarter and even possibly month for gold. Most other times when gold has gotten over 2,000, even made a run up to 2,100, it has reversed quite quickly. Now, Dana, you have been playing the upward trend here in gold. Take us through your strategy now that gold is essentially knocking on that $2,000 door again.
Yeah, thanks, Corey. Yeah, we've been generally bullish on the precious metals complex, as you know, for a while. We view that the rally into 2020 is kind of a test of those all-time highs from 2011. The market, like any other market, it's got to cool off for a while, store up some more energy so that when it does break out, it's got the opportunity to put in a more sustainable, durable breakout. So I think that's what we've seen for the last 3 years now, is that has that been enough of a digestion or consolidation to allow for a sustainable breakout? We'll see. I think it's going to come eventually. So we are, we trade ETF, so the GLD, for example, it's going to approach those highs from the last 3 years or so, same thing as 2011. So I think maybe, you know, some more digestion here in the short term after the near-term run that we've had. But I think at this point we would maintain a pretty healthy allocation to it because I think eventually it is building up to a breakout and kind of more sustained longer term breakout where we can see meaningful highs. Whereas, you know, as you mentioned in the past, we've run up to the other highs and kind of pulled back sharply because we didn't have enough momentum, didn't have enough marginal buyers to perpetuate that type of a breakout. So I think it's coming, whether it's during this move or not, I'm not sure, but I think it is. I don't think it's a time to take off all of your long positions waiting for a better opportunity. I think you keep it on and you add to it into a further pullback here.
We do get a lot of emails from our listeners and just see a lot of chatter out there in the marketplace about why it is that gold is pretty much up near all-time highs here, getting close to it at least, And yet the mining stocks are really nowhere close to their all-time highs from really a decade ago. You had made some good points to us off mic about, yes, they're tracking the underlying commodity, but every sector should really be valued on its own accord because they're also equities. I'd love you to maybe expand on that for some of our maybe long-suffering listeners that have mining stocks and they feel like they should have performed better, all things considered.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is a good point that, you know, despite the fact that these mining companies, obviously they're tied to the metals themselves, they are, after all, companies, you know, so they are equities. So if the equity market in general is going to struggle, which we think it's going to continue to struggle, the bounce of the last week to 10 days notwithstanding, we think longer term the equity market will struggle. So that will be, in a sense, a headwind on the mining companies, especially any tied to indices, which if investors are selling the indexes, and especially during those kind of panicky type markets where everything gets sold, then they're going to be selling the mining companies as well, even if gold and silver and the metals themselves are moving to new highs. But I think in the longer term, you're going to see the correlation between the companies, the miners, and the metals themselves hold in a positive fashion. It's just that when you're in a specific market where, as you mentioned, the miners are getting pulled by both the commodity exposure as well as the equity exposure, it's not, you can't blindly put your money in there when gold is going up and think the miners are going to absolutely go up every time. There's going to be pressure, especially during a bear market, from stock selling. So, as you mentioned, I think it's an important reminder that whatever you're trading, whatever security or commodity you're trading, you have to trade them on their own merits. You can't assume because one commodity, one asset is moving in a certain direction that another asset or security is going to necessarily go that direction on a one-to-one relationship. That's not always the case. So you always have to deploy sort of risk management on whatever securities, whatever markets you're trading, based on, again, the own merits of that security.
So what are some levels you're watching for GDX? Because quite frankly, the gold community, when they see gold moving higher to all-time highs, they don't expect a one-to-one correlation in the stocks. They expect a 4-to-1 or 5-to-1 correlation where the stocks outperform. Gold is, let's say, 5% off of all-time highs. GDX is almost 100% away from all-time highs. So what are the levels here that you're watching for simply the miners like GDX?
Absolutely. And again, like we mentioned, you have to judge each on its own merit. It just because gold is at testing all-time highs doesn't mean GDX or the miners themselves will be testing all-time highs. So you have to look at the various levels and the various charting techniques each and every asset. So specifically at GDX, you know, 33, just over 33, where we saw a top out earlier this year, is an extremely important level, I think. We'll take some profits there, just about 33, maybe 33 and a quarter or so, and then try to flip it and add it back into a short-term pullback. We'll maintain healthy position, so maybe if it blasts right through there, then fine, we can deal with that. Maybe we're being too cute, but 33, mid-33s is going to be a challenge. If we decisively reclaim that, then the next big level is probably up near 40. You know, where we saw, you know, tops in the last couple of years, 2021, 2022. And then, you know, from there, it's the high in 2020 around, I think it was $46, which was, you know, almost exactly the 61 retracement of the downturn from 2011 to the lows in 2016. So sometimes the Fibonacci levels and some of these charting techniques, sometimes they work. People think it's like kind of some sort of a voodoo type of a religion or whatever, but at a minimum, it gives you some sort of an objective criteria to with which to manage your risk.
All right, unfortunately, we're out of time for this segment on the radio, but we're going to be right back with Dana Lyons.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back, everyone. We are continuing to chat with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago, also editor of the Lion Share Pro website. Now, Dana, last segment, we spent our time talking about the precious metals market. Let's move over to the U.S. equity markets. Markets are broadly up for this year, being led by the NASDAQ. NASDAQ up about 17%, the S&P up only about 4-ish percent, let's say. So, again, outperformance by what was one of the worst performing broad averages last year. You even alluded to it in that earlier segment that, look, you are generally bearish still on the stock market. Take us through what you're watching, what levels do you think really these markets could turn over on?
Sure. So a couple things from a durational standpoint. Nothing goes in a straight line. So even if we're in a bear market, it's not unusual to see bear market bounces like we've seen since October and then also over the last couple weeks. But it's important to remember, even if we look at something like the value line geometric average, which tracks the median stock in the market, basically it topped out beginning of 2022 around 700, sold off to below 500 in October. It's regained about a quarter of that now. So it's not like we're back in like the good old days are back and we're in a ripping bull market again. We've had a mean reversion bounce. Something like that average is only up about 2%. So the median stock is only up about 2%. And that's after getting slammed during the course of 2022. So I wouldn't get too excited. And same thing when considering investment selection and what areas of the market you want to be invested in. And from that standpoint, you look at growth and tech and the NASDAQ specifically, areas that we think have started a long-term down move on a relative basis, especially versus value. Right now, they're leading the way. Obviously, in the short term, they're from a technical perspective, they are in more of a stronger position than other areas of the market. But I think that's going to end up being, you know, kind of a mean reversion head fake. Because what happened, everyone saw what sectors were getting blasted last year. So everyone, once they do throw in the towel, they start piling into shorts and inverse ETFs on those sectors that are getting crushed, like technology. So you look back in October, everyone was shorting, you know, NASDAQ and technology. So it's not surprising that those have been the areas that have bounced back the most, but still they've recovered very little of the losses that they incurred throughout the course of last year. So do I think that's the start of something, an absolute bullish move? No. Do I think it's the start of a relative bullish move? No. I think it's going to be another rug pull for the technology and the growth sector. And just generally, from an equity perspective, I think we're probably nearing the point where you should be selling pretty aggressively, or at least hedging pretty aggressively, because I don't think this bounce is going to last either. You mentioned our models that our quantitative models that basically direct our investment posture. And after trying to move higher during the first part of the year, they did finally give way and started heading down in a pretty sharp manner. And even interestingly, even during the bounce over the last 2 weeks, many of our indicators, many of those components have not budged. They continue to move down, which is not it's not the indication we want to see when we're considering whether or not this is the start of a longer term bullish move. So the more we go up here until our indicators turn, the more we bounce, the more we'll sell and the more we'll continue to hedge.
Well, Dana, you mentioned some of the quantitative and technical data you're looking at that tells you there's probably more downside still left despite this recent relief rally. But if we kind of just widen the scope back, you know, if you think back just 2 years to 2021, when it was kind of peak froth in the sector and everybody was excitedly long and enthusiastic about the markets never stopping going higher. And that's really what marked the top. And really the end of 2021, Q3 and Q4 is where most stocks individually corrected, even if the index has still had a little more life until November. We saw a rough year in 2022, but now we are seeing people say, hey, the coast is clear. This is a new bull market. You just laid out some quantitative data as to why that's probably not the case based on the models you're looking at. But you also track sentiment, Dana. We were mentioning before we started recording that just the what you're seeing in some sentiment readings, and then just anecdotally when you're out there looking at the reaction, there are a lot of investors that think the good times are here again. What message would you have for people that are maybe getting sucked into that narrative that think, hey, we're back into a new bull market again in the general stock markets?
Well, my message is the same as it always is. Find either a manager or a methodology that is based in quantitative analysis or objective criteria to guide your investments, because going on feel, I can tell you, does not work. It's going to actually subvert. It's the worst way to go. Human nature is going to dictate that you do the wrong thing at the wrong time. You're going to be buying when you should be selling, selling when you should be buying. And that's basically how contrarian sentiment analysis works. Obviously, there's some interpretation that goes into it, and there are some longer and shorter term, obviously, indicators within that realm that are helpful on different time frames. But yeah, my advice would be to come up with either a manager or a strategy that is based on objective criteria that helps you overcome those human natural tendencies that usually lead you in the wrong direction. Because we are, like you mentioned, we are seeing, and only a couple weeks removed from that mini banking crisis, we're already seeing some of those short-term sentiment readings getting overly bullish, believe it or not. And I think maybe we got through the Fed meeting and the banking sector did not collapse. So maybe folks think, okay, well, we're out of that. We're through the woods there. We've bought some time before anything else bad could necessarily creep up. But I think if you look at the market data, the actual quantitative data that matters to us, nothing has really changed. You know, we're seeing a short-term bounce, but nothing in the data that would suggest the sort of enthusiastic or bullish response that we've noticed in the indicators. And even perusing Twitter, we're seeing a lot of, like you mentioned, the good old bullish days are back type of mood. And I would be very, very careful about adopting that mindset at this time.
Okay. Dana, thank you, as always, for your insights. Always say, I take what you have to say very importantly, simply because, look, you are not biased into any individual sector, and you are letting your models tell you where future moves are coming, and you played that bear market, seems like almost perfectly, the whole way down, and you're still very much in that mentality. Dana, thank you very much for your time. We'll chat again in another couple weeks. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Cortland Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
USA News Update.
devastating storms and tornadoes through the South and Midwest yesterday into early this morning, killing at least 5 people, injuring dozens more, trapping others in their homes, damaging businesses and critical infrastructure with the threat of more severe weather this afternoon. President Trump expected to travel from Florida to New York next week as he faces an indictment for his alleged 2016 hush money scandal. The former president leaving Mar-a-Lago for New York City Monday will stay at the Trump Tower that night and on Tuesday morning be arraigned at the courthouse. A federal judge in Tennessee says the drag show can go on. He temporarily blocked a law that would have restricted drag performances in front of children from going into effect today. Customer service problems in the U.S. have gone up quite a bit, with Americans becoming increasingly aggressive in their efforts to address those issues. Corey Myers, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now. For prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Those last two segments, when we chatted with Data Lyons, we focused a bit more specifically on market moves and some of his shorter-term trading strategies. We're going to wrap up this show in the final two segments with Mark Chandler, managing partner at Bannockburn Global Forex, also editor of the Mark to Market website. Now, Mark, I first just want to get broad comment from you on the major differences that we are seeing from Q1 2023 compared to last year, Q1 2022. Markets are clearly moving in a very different direction. We had a banking crisis to deal with in Q1. But look, there's a lot of changes in terms of economic growth, economic data that we are seeing. In terms of what you have noted, what you think are some of the biggest differences we've seen compared to the first quarter of last year, break that down for us, please.
Yeah, sure. I think that one of the most important differences is that in March of 2022, the Federal Reserve began raising interest rates. And here in March 2023, the Federal Reserve is probably, if not done, maybe one more hike away from being done. So March 2022, we're just beginning the tightening cycle. And many of us thought, even at the time, we talked about things that, like the Fed would raise rates until something broke. Many of us thought it would be the labor market. Some people thought inflation would be lower, but ultimately it was financial stability. And the banking stress that we had earlier this month is seen taking off from the terminal rate where people expected Fed funds and where the ECB would start to go, taking off about 50 basis points from that, from those levels. So the first thing I'd say is the monetary tightening cycles were just beginning early last year, and now look like here as we get into Q2, just about done, maybe one hike away for some of the big central banks. The other thing I think to note is that in the first quarter of last year, the U.S. economy contracted primarily because of trade and inventory adjustments. And here in Q1 23, the Atlanta Fed saying that with today's data that the economy is likely tracking about 2.5% annualized pace, a little bit faster than the market expects. And what strikes me about that is that the Federal Reserve's dot plot from last week, the median forecast from Fed officials is for the economy to grow only 0.4% this year. So if we get 2.5% or even 2% in Q1, the Federal Reserve's forecast seems to be for a quarter or more of contraction. So a different economic outlook, as if the what makes this year different than last year. Last year we were still in the we had that weakness in the first half, but then we came back roaring back second half of last year. And now it looks like the economy is truly rolling over.
Yeah, Mark, it may be a more muted growth year for GDP, but in general, it seems like a lot of the concerns over the last couple of weeks in the banking sector and the worry if something else could break are past us now, or not maybe past us, but it seems like the worst is past, because when you look at the market complacency, the VIX is down. Most markets are up, whether it's the general markets, the cryptos, the commodities. Everything seems to be back to where investors are feeling comfortable getting back in the water. Do you think that's all because, like you said on the onset there, that most people see this being the end of the tightening cycle, not just for the Fed, but really across the board of the central banks? Is that optimism coming in as far as market participants that, hey, doesn't matter if we have slow growth, doesn't matter if we have one more 25 basis point hike, we're almost past that storm as well?
Yeah, I think there's something to that. I think, too, that the markets coming out of this banking crisis feel like that a soft landing is more likely now, curtailing the aggressive Fed tightening to some extent. And I think we see this in the different markets. But I think the key takeaway is that the most acute part of the banking crisis seems to be over. You know, I was looking at that KBW bank index up almost 4% this week. First week in four that's rising. Same general story in Europe. The European bank index was off for the past 3 weeks, and this week it's up over 6%. And so what's happened then is that as the banking crisis eased, bank stocks recovered. Not fully, of course, but they stabilized, turned higher, and the market is also getting more confident of another Fed rate hike. We see this in the U.S. two-year note. You know, the last 3 weeks, the U.S. two-year note yield was off more than 100 basis points, closer to 130 basis points, and this week we rose 33 basis points. Now, what this means is that the market now looks for the Federal Reserve, and this is the where we're going to be at the end of the year. The market, a week ago when we were talking, we were almost at 4%. And now, after this week's adjustment, we're at about 4.35. And so this, again, is the pendulum of market sentiment swinging back. And I think that this has spilled over and helped world equity markets. It's not, like you mentioned, it's not just the U.S. In fact, looking at it now, the S&P 500 is up almost 3% this week, but the major markets in Europe are up over 4%. And so I think this is just generally global equity markets sort of a sigh of relief that we're not headed for a 2008 repeat.
So, Mike, it just brings up the never-ending question of, are we getting a soft landing? Are we getting a no landing, or is this just kind of the lull, the calm before the storm? No one knows to be for certain. Quite frankly, history will tell. But when it comes to rates, we have seen a big pullback in rates. Would you be confident enough to say that we've seen the high in rates for this year, even if they might go higher a little bit from here, they've come back enough off their highs that it's at least a more stable rate environment?
I think so. I think that's a fair assessment that, you know, the U.S. two-year note yield got above 5%. And I think that That no longer seems reasonable to people. Maybe 4% is too low. And I think that the key issue going forward, not so much the economic data, but any kind of indication of the duration and magnitude of the tightening of lending conditions. So yes, the banking crisis will lead to banks strengthening their balance sheets. How much? How long does it last for? And I think people, many economists, I think, sort of jumped to the conclusion that it was worth 50 to 75 basis points of tightening. And I think that that's because we all have the scar tissue from 2008. But I think as the dust settles, I think it'll be a much more mild impact.
Well, Mark, if you think that rates could still go a little higher, but maybe won't be breaking out to new highs, you know, one of the stories that we have today on Friday is that gold is making as far as the way it looks like it's going to close today, is going to make an all-time high on the monthly chart and an all-time high on the quarterly chart. So two all-time highs in gold today on the longer duration charts. But if rates are going to rise, you had mentioned to us off mic that you think that could be a little bit of a wet blanket on the precious metal sector. I'd love you to break that thought down.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, back in earlier this month, gold went from about $1,800 an ounce, looking at the spot cash market, got above $2,000. Since we got above $2,000 back on March 20th, we've really been consolidating, moving in about the same range that we moved in from on the 20th and the 21st. We've been stuck in that range, and that range is roughly 1935 to that high of almost 20,010. So on one hand, I think technically it looks like we're carving out a triangle pattern. And that often is associated with a continuation pattern, which would be bullish for gold. On the other hand, as a fundamentalist, I tend to emphasize for gold the direction of the U.S. dollar and U.S. interest rates. And I think that because I anticipate further rise in U.S. rates in the very near term, perhaps helped by anticipation of another strong jobs report at the end of next week, I have yields going up a bit higher. So I kind of think gold is going to test the downside. And the downside that's important, I think, right now is about 1935 to about 1945. And if we go through those levels, I think that we could really get a more serious breakdown, a retracement of this big rally we've had this month. In general, my view really is to follow it. That I tactically play that, I think, is that I take advantage of strength to sell into rather than a dip to buy.
All right, Mark, we're out of time for this segment. We're having you back on next segment, though, so everyone stick around. We're going to be right back.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about extreme weather, the alarming increase in man-made disasters, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their popular 3-month emergency food kit. They include tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners with over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on your 3-month supply at MyPatriotSupply.com. Too many Americans are being let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau d'Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com.
Radio. Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering next drive.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Here we are, wrapping up the weekend edition of the KE Report, continuing to chat with Mark Chandler. Mark, let's shift our focus over to the currencies, starting with the U.S. dollar. U.S. dollar, a bit of a downtrend this month, closing right around that 102 level. That 100 level looks to be critical for the dollar to hold, especially considering all the air underneath there. Let's get your thoughts on the dollar. Feel free to tie in any other currencies as they relate.
Yeah, so I like the fact that the dollar index is testing that 102 area. You know, we briefly dipped below it last week, but holding above it this week, I tested it a couple of times. I think this is the low, and I think we get a bounce back. Maybe it goes up to 103. And best case, I think, is that 20-day moving average, which is about 103.60. So the dollar index, so broad measure of the dollar, I think we get a bounce in the greenback and begin the new month. On the other hand, I think you're right that this past week, almost all the major currencies except the Japanese yen gained against the U.S. dollar. And it's hard to know how much of this is market positioning for the quarter end. For many, it's the fiscal year end. It's not clear to me, but it also seems that key levels have more or less held. So we did get above 109 in the euro. We got above it twice last week, and both times it was rejected. Same kind of thing happened this week. We got above 109. We even closed above 109, but it hasn't been sustained. It won't be sustained ahead of the weekend. Sterling got above 124. You know, it reached 124.5 back in December and then in January, but we haven't been able to sustain that either. So we got close to the old high, couldn't sustain it. And so that's just sort of, I think what's happening is that the dollar just, the foreign currencies like the euro, sterling, moved from the lower end of their range to the upper end of their range, but that's all they've done. No real breakout. And I kind of think that the rule of thumb in this kind of market is fade a range until proven otherwise.
Okay, but Mark, if your thought of a bounce here in the dollar is up to 103, that would still be, you could argue, in a bit of a downtrend, because just this month, the dollar looks like it's going to be down almost 3%. That's one of the largest drops since November in the dollar, and yes, it didn't break the January low, but again, only a bounce to 103, 104 level, that's not bullish in my eyes.
Right, no, I agree with you. And in the big picture, I'm in the camp that thinks the dollar made an important high last September or October. The dollar, when you really think from a big picture perspective, the dollar's been rising for 10 years. And so the real issue then to me is, has the big super cycle of the dollar ended? I think it has. And so I would look at these kind of bounces that we get, like the one I'm anticipating for part of April, is really a short-lived and corrective in nature, with a real trend going to be lower. And that's, and what's the, I think about it, like, what's the driver? Well, I thought that the driver for most of the dollar's rally in the past year or two has been the aggressiveness of Fed policy, both real and anticipated. And I think that the financial stress that we saw earlier this month has reinforced the idea that the Fed tightening is over. I think the market might have gotten ahead of itself thinking, like a week ago, thinking 100 basis points of cuts this year. But I think that the market is going to be slow to give up this idea that the Fed is done or nearly done. And that, I think, removes a big weight, on the foreign currencies.
Well, Mark, when you think of the dollar, at least I think of, you know, how it's counterbalanced against a lot of the raw materials in the commodity sector. And even if it bounces to 103, 104, that's not a huge move in the dollar. Again, it stayed mostly muted. But what we have seen in response is most commodities truck a little bit higher in the month of March, not just gold, but also silver. Silver's above $24 now. Copper's had a nice move. It's got a four handle again. You've seen oil rebound from the mid-60s to now the mid-70s. So what do you make of some of the strength in the commodity sector, and where do you think it's heading?
Yeah, so when I think about commodities, I have a rule for the dollar in that, but I think that part of this is growing confidence of the Chinese economy. Now, the IMF says the Chinese economy is likely to account for about a third of the world's growth this year. And what I suspect that they've done, the Chinese, have purposely underestimated growth this year after disappointing last year, so they could surprise on the upside. I think there's always supply disruptions in the commodities. I'm thinking about problems with oil between Iraq. And I think that generally speaking, I think it's really this people seeing the financial stress, wanting to buy things that Dennis Gartman used to talk about that hurt when you drop on your feet. Bonds don't hurt. Commodities do. And that is, you want to buy things of, you know, weighty, things that you could, tangible assets, when the financial markets have gone, again, you know, a period of crisis and stress. I'd be watching those commodities, not just with the dollar, but Chinese demand. And earlier today, China reported their PMI. And even though the manufacturing PMI was a bit soft, the service sector, or I should say the non-manufacturing sector, which includes construction, which is a big demand for commodities, was much stronger than people expected.
Really seems like a bit more of a balanced market in all fairness here, where it's not just money flowing into the markets, it's also flowing into commodities, and it's also flowing into some generally safer assets. I know it's not much, but even bonds are up this year. So, look, it is a bit more of a balanced market. I do want to turn it back a little bit more big picture, not so much to the banking squeeze, more what everyone is saying on the back end of that, that lending is going to remain tight, and that is going to really put handcuffs on the economy, on a lot of other things too, including the markets. How do you view this potentially longer term implication or longer term narrative for these markets?
Yeah, I think you're right that I think most economists at least would agree that financial stress is a deflationary force. That is, that it slows economic activity. Makes sense to me. The problem, though, the challenge that we have is sort of like the known unknown. And what we don't know is the duration and the magnitude of this tightening of lending, of lending that's likely to come forward. We already know from a recent Fed survey, you know, they do a survey of senior loan officers. That's from the big banks. And that already showed the big banks were tightening lending standards. So for people like me who think that the U.S. economy will weaken as the year progresses, even if we don't have 2 quarters of contracting growth necessarily, the weakness of the economy, I think that the seeds had already been planted, and the financial stress just adds to that. So I do think that we should be looking for a couple of things. Slower inflation, and what's going to happen is the March U.S. CPI jumped 1% in 2022. So that's going to be replaced by a lower number of some magnitude, which is going to keep the inflation falling or slowing in the U.S. And we just need to buy a couple more months of time until the housing prices filter into the Fed's data, into their methodology, and that'll probably be the next leg down for CPI. I am concerned that economists have, to me, they just jumped to the conclusion because of the 2008 experience, trying to come up with a fine point magnitude of how much the financial stress is going to impact the economy or how much tightening it's worth. And I think that the initial estimates were too pessimistic, that the headwind might not be as great, even though the U.S. economy still seems set to slow down.
Before I get you out of here, Mark, if we don't have, let's say, the Fed and a couple other major central banks meeting this month, what do we need to watch for? What could change the direction of markets? What could change the mentality of investors over next week, even the next couple weeks?
Yeah, so next week, holiday showing week for many people, for many financial centers. Jobs data is going to be the key economic report. I say that because even though we get the PMI, the Purchasing Managers Index, the flash reports are so close to the final that it really steals most of the thunder. So I think that the jobs data, but again, I think that the central bank's data, money supply figures, these are going to come back into favor as a way to try to monitor the impact of the banking stress we had. I know many people like myself are going to continue to follow bank shares to see if that stress does stay away from them. And I think the other thing, of course, I think is how officials, the kind of forward guidance we get from the Fed speak, and from speakers of at the ECB. Interesting thing in April is going to be the first, the Bank of Japan is going to have their meeting late in the month, and the new BOJ governor, the new BOJ team is going to be in place, and they're going to update their forecast, which will be the first signal of their intentions.
All right, Mark. Great having you on the show. Thank you so much for taking time with us on this weekend show. We will be chatting with you again next Friday. And everybody, thanks for tuning in to the Weekend Edition. Please keep in touch with Shad and I, and please go back through our website and podcast to listen to those daily editorials. Let us know your thoughts on the markets and the companies that we feature throughout the week. Everybody, Mark, you as well. Hope you all have a great rest of your weekend.
Thanks. Good luck, everybody.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
We depend on our drinking water supply daily, but where does that water come from? Your water provider encourages you to get to know your local water source so together we can protect and preserve it. The investments we make as a community to protect our water source now ensure we have a sustainable drinking water supply for the future. Visit drinktap.org to learn more. This message is brought to you by the American Water Works Association and your local water provider.